coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Oh, man. We have got an awesome show for you today. We are going to be speaking with Greg Stevens. He's a retired police officer from the Garland, Texas Police Department. Man, this guy, you may recognize his name. Back in 2015, he had a shootout with two ISIS terrorists in Garland, Texas. He took them on. They had rifles. He had a Glock. And you will hear the story directly from him as soon as we come back in segment two. Boy, it's going to be good. You're going to love this. I'm departing a little bit from the format of the show. We're not going to do the news today. I want to have as much time as possible to talk to Officer Greg Stevens because the story is awesome. You're going to learn about gunfighting just by listening to a man who's had to do it. Well, I'm a little geeked. I'm coming off a church safety seminar. We had that this past Saturday in Middleville, Michigan. Had a great seminar. I taught two active shooter classes, countering the mass shooter threat. Two 2.5-hour classes. It was awesome. Had a really good time. The students were awesome. Got to know some good people. Got to talk to a lot of people at the Home Defense Show booth and did a book signing there. It was really, really good. Sheriff Darleaf, he helped me out with the class as well. He was teaching disarmament tactics and, you know, a little bit of hand-to-hand close combat stuff. And then, of course, we had other classes. Larry Jackson from Elite Firearms, he went ahead and he taught a class on team building, how to build a church safety team. And, of course, we had Terry Johnson, Vice President of Legal Operations from Firearms Legal Protection. He taught a class on liability and laws about church and use of deadly force. So that was really good. And, of course, we had CPR, AED, first aid, lots of good stuff. Had a run, hide, fight seminar. It was really, really good training. And good food, too. That's always important to me. All right. Well, I don't want to take too much time. I'm not going to go over the news because I want to get right to Greg Stevens and talk about his shootout, his gunfight that he had with ISIS terrorists right here on American soil back in 2015. Folks, you are going to love this story. It will enthrall you. It will captivate you. And I hope that it inspires you to get more training because he's really big on that. All right, we're going to take a two-minute break here. While we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and see what they can do for your family should you ever get in a gunfight and need legal protection. Then also go to elitefirearms.us and go ahead and see what Larry Jackson can do to help you choose the right firearm to protect your family. And, of course, go ahead and check out sheepdogseminars.com and do a little pre-work on finding out who Greg Stevens is. All right, when we come back, we'll be speaking again with retired Garland Police Department officer Greg Stevens all about the first ISIS terrorist attack on American soil. All right, be back in 2 minutes. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Skip Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today we are speaking with Greg Stevens. He is a retired police officer from the Garland, Texas Police Force. Greg, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Well, thank you, Skip. I'm pleased and honored that you would invite me to be a guest on your show.
Well, to be honest with you, Greg, we couldn't get anyone else, so we had to go with you.
Close enough.
That's not true. Actually, Greg, yeah, you came highly recommended. I got your number through Jimmy Meeks from Sheepdog Seminars, and he said, I was interviewing him for Frontlines of Freedom, and he says, hey, you got to talk to this Greg fella. He's got a great story. He's a good guy. And so, hey, with credentials like that, recommendations like that, we absolutely had to have you on the Home Defense Show. So, Greg, thank you very much for giving us your time today.
Well, certainly my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Now, Greg, all I know about you is what I read online. And when I read something online about somebody, I don't know if it's true or not. Because, you know, the Internet is a great tool, but you never know if what you're reading is actually true. So, and the listeners don't know a lot about you yet. So why don't you go ahead, Greg, tell us who are you, where you're from, kind of your, the Reader's Digest version of your life story.
Well, like I said, I'm a retired police officer, went into law enforcement pretty young and enjoyed a lengthy career. I was actually, to go way back to the very beginning, I was actually born in Canada to Canadian parents and lived in Montreal till I was, I wasn't born in Montreal, but we lived there. That's the first memory I have of being in Canada. I think it's just before my seventh birthday, we moved to Austin, Texas. So quite a cultural change
yeah.
there from Montreal, Canada to Austin, Texas. And I've been in Texas, the rest of my life, so far. And I'm a U.S. citizen, naturalized U.S. citizen, which is kind of an interesting thing. I earned mine. I wasn't just born here. So, mm-hmm. It has great importance and meaning to me to say the least. I'm very proud of being from Texas. Texas is a great state, not that the others aren't, but we're pretty proud of what we do down here in Texas.
Sure.
But anyway, I grew up down in the Austin area, went to college in a medium-sized university near Austin, and in 1977, I decided it was time for me to embark on a career in law enforcement. I had been kind of planning that while I was in school and ended up being hired by the Garland, Texas Police Department. Now, Garland is a suburb of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but it's a large suburb. I think we're about the 12th or 13th largest city in the state of Texas as we speak. So,
mm-hmm.
Approaching 300,000 people, probably 270,000, give or take. And a medium size, a police department of, over 300 officers, 340 or so officers. So and we border Dallas and many other cities in the metro area. So it's kind of like you never can tell when you're in one city or another. It's just a big giant city.
Yeah.
So, Garland, was interesting, as a place to work. We had a lot of diversity and we had, everything that any other big city has and, with less resources, of course, for our law enforcement folks. And so I had a pretty interesting career, but I've been there. I just retired, August this past year. I ended up retiring when I had 40 years, 3 months, and 8 days.
Wow.
But who's counting, you know? And I spent my whole career in a uniform frontline position, most of it in the traffic division. I worked in patrol for about 8 years, and then the remainder I was in our traffic division. A lot of it, about almost 28 of those years, as a motorcycle policeman,
which
I dearly loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of elongated my career after the motorcycle thing started to become more and more difficult. And I moved into an unmarked traffic car and worked for several more years before I ultimately retired. But I love policing.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved working, you know, one-on-one with the public, with the people that I serve, that I love to serve. The people, I love Garland. Garland is a great community. It's kind of a blue-collar community. It's got a bunch of hard-working, you know, family-oriented folks that love the Lord. And it was an honor and a privilege to get to serve those folks for 40 years. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And because of that, I never opted to promote and move up the ladder because I didn't want to lose the opportunity to be out there on the street and police, because that's what I love doing best.
Oh, wow. You know, that is awesome. This is Skip Corraline, Home Defense Show. We're speaking with retired Garland police officer Greg Stevens. All right, Greg, well, you did retire after 40 years. Is it a situation where you had something else that you wanted to do, or you just figured, hey, it's time, I'm getting a little long in the tooth? What was up with that?
Interestingly enough, you mentioned Jimmy Meeks early on, Jimmy was a police officer in a neighboring community in Hearst, Texas, which is kind of in between Dallas and Fort Worth. And I didn't know Jimmy, but Jimmy kind of, he sought me out. He left a message with one of our training officers while I was still working for the police department, and said, hey, I'd like to talk to this guy. So the training guy actually came, and I remember him handing it to me, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, Jimmy Meeks, don't have a clue. I thought, well, I'll give him a call, see what he's got going on. And he wanted to talk to me about something that happened at the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland in 2015. And he was promoting an event that he was, a kind of a seminar thing that he was put together, and had invited me to come and participate if I was interested. So I invited him over and he actually rode with me in my police car one day, so we could kind of talk and kind of get to know each other a little bit. And that was the beginning of a relationship with Jimmy Meeks and the Sheepdog Seminars, which I did a number of seminars while I was still working for the police department with them. I would, you know, get in and out of town pretty quick, and it's a relationship that I'm very proud of and enthused about. And it was a great opportunity, a way to transition from policing day to day into still being able to give back to my community, give back to my profession, give back to my country, and do something that I thought was very worthwhile, but not, you know, let's let the younger men and women have the street policing stuff for a while. And it was an opportunity for me to move forward into something equally as important.
Yeah. Well, why should us old guys have all the fun, right? I mean, there comes a time when you got to hand the baton off to, you know, the young whippersnappers. Let them have
shot
at it. Well, yeah, Jimmy Meeks, I really like this guy. He's a very down-to-earth guy. You know, he doesn't have a lot of, he's not very pretentious. He just says pretty much what's on his mind. And, you know, I really like that guy. I've interviewed him several times, and I've been to the Sheepdog Seminars. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we had one up here with, Carl Chin and Jimmy Meeks and, Dave Grossman. Just awesome, awesome program that they put on. And if anyone hasn't been to one of their programs yet, what is that? I think it's sheepdogseminars.com they can go to. Is that the correct place?
Yes, Greg? And it'll take them right to the website. It'll show what seminars are coming up and where. And also, if they're interested in hosting a seminar, whether it be a church or another organization, there's instructions on how to get a hold of Jimmy and how to, you know, instructions on how exactly to get that done. I'm part of the team, sort of, so it's kind of like I'm boasting about what we do, but I'm telling you, it's on point, it's important, it's information that people need to hear and to make use of, and to be a little part of that's kind of a big treat for me, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I had the opportunity to, you know, meet Dave Grossman, and then I interviewed him a couple of times after that. Boy, I tell you, the message that you guys are putting out there, not just to churches, but to, you know, law enforcement, to military, civilians, it's just incredible. Because it to me, you can tell me what you think about it, but I think to me, sometimes Americans get a little bit, lackadaisical, and you know, we've been very pampered. We're very fortunate to have the lifestyle and the culture and society, our way of life. You know, the rest of the world doesn't have that this easy of a lifestyle that Americans are blessed with. And, but the world seems to be changing a little bit. Things seem to be getting a little more, violent. And, boy, you guys kind of wake society up. And, you know, bring us in line with what's happening in the rest of the world, third world countries and things like that as well. What is your opinion on that?
Well, I think you're exactly right. The world is changing and there's kind of a ton of different reasons, I guess, that you could point to. Jimmy and I have talked about it and I tend to agree with something he said. He said one of the biggest problems we have in the world today, and in our country in particular, because this is where we are, but is anger. It seems like people are angrier than they've ever been. And and when you stop and look back too, as a society, we have probably pampered our kids worse than ever, and we have at least a couple of generations of kids that find coping way more difficult than it seemed to be for you and I as we were growing up.
Yeah.
And you combine those two things, that's not a very good mix in my opinion. You got angry people that aren't really able to cope very well, and that's I think what lends itself to the violence.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. In fact, Colonel Grossman, he refers to them as brittle people. You know, you and I mean, we have troubles in our life. I mean, nobody's life is perfect, right? So you know, you come across hard times, you know, it's like the wind is blowing and you're a willow tree and you bend with the wind, but then the wind stops blowing, you straighten up again. But with a lot of our society now, they're very brittle. And when the wind blows, branches snap off or the trunk breaks and they just snap and go out and they just go out and do things. And like you said, they're already angry. So if you're already angry and you just snap and, you know, I think one of the things people, have problems with is if their life gets bad, they take the view that it's always going to be this way. And then despair sets in. Is that your experience as well or not?
Well, I think there's a great deal of merit to that. I think that's that lack of ability to cope. And you know, when I was growing up, I was always kind of taught I'm the benefactor of great parents. Both of them are gone now. God bless them, but I had great parents, understanding people, and I was the youngest of three. So I had the benefit of my two older sisters' experience as well. But I was always taught, you know, if there weren't some rocky times, how would you know that you were having good times?
And that's true.
And I think that's there should be an expectation that things aren't always going to go your way. And unfortunately, I'm not sure that we're teaching our kids that as well today as we probably should be.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, my parents grew up, you know, during the Depression and lived through World War II. It was just a different society. But things have definitely changed. All right, this is all good stuff, Greg. You told me some good stuff. We know who you are, what you stand for. We've got a two-minute break coming up here, but when we come back, I'd like to talk more about, you know, an event that happened to you in 2015 and get the story right from the horse's mouth, as it were. So can you stick on for another 15 minutes here, Greg?
Sure thing.
Okay. All right, folks, we've got a two-minute break. While we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and then check out elitefirearms.us. And during your extra time, go ahead and check out sheepdogseminars.com. All right, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Coriel, the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with Greg Stevens, retired Garland Police Department officer, and now affiliated with Sheepdog Seminars, our friends Jimmy Meeks and Colonel Dave Grossman and Carl Chin. All right, now, Greg, first off, I'm from Michigan. I got up this morning, and it was 6 degrees. What's the temperature down there in Texas right now? And don't lie to me, because I can look it up.
Okay, well, it's in the upper 30s, and it's raining this morning.
Yeah. No snow on the ground?
Oh, heavens, no. No snow. We don't get a lot of snow here, and we will get snow once or twice a year, but it's never usually much.
Yeah, and you've lived in this weather your entire life. That must be awesome.
Yes, it is. It's certainly a great place to be as far as the weather goes. It's pretty nice here in the Texas area, in Dallas, Texas area.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, I've lived here in Michigan my whole life, and, you know, we had that polar vortex, and, you know, there are some places in Michigan where it was getting down to, like, minus 40 degrees, you know, without the wind chill. But it's my own fault, right? I mean, I could move to Texas. It's a free country. But the thing is, you know, you ever heard that saying, you know, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives? Well, I grew up here. All my relatives are here, so... You know, I stay here just so I can be close to my family. But all right.
But, you know, interestingly enough, let me add to that. Remember, I was actually born in Canada, lived in Montreal.
That's right. Yes. So you know.
So I know what I can remember when I was just a kid. We'd get all bundled up, go outside and play all day, and it might be well below zero, and we never thought anything of it. It was just normal lifestyle.
Yeah, I remember being a kid going out sledding, making snowmen, snowball fights, all that stuff. It's like I felt like I was out there all day, and I never got cold. Now I go out there for 15 minutes, and it's like I'm crying like a baby. I'm going to die.
I'm telling you, it's age probably plays a role in all that.
I think you're right. My bones get cold in November, and they don't warm up again until April.
I'm with you.
Okay, Greg. Now, you had an event, significant event in your life that happened in 2015. I believe you were, working some off-duty security type stuff that cops, do quite often. I just want you to tell it in your own words. When did it happen? What was it like? What exactly did happen to you, Greg?
Well, first of all, Skip, you're right. Policemen notoriously work a lot of extra stuff. We all want to provide what we can for our families and so on. So, and it's an opportunity that in the police occupation that you can make some good extra money. And so, in May of 2015, or actually right at the end of April, I'm walking through the squad room at the police department, and there was one slot open on this special event that was going on at a building owned by the school district called the Curtis Colwell Center. It's a big convention center and basketball arena. It's a big place. And it was a Sunday afternoon. It was for May 3rd, 2015, on Sunday afternoon. So I thought, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I'm going to sign up for that 5 hours of easy overtime. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought I was. That's what I thought I was.
This is a milk run, right?
Yeah. Anyway, one thing led to another, and I was, I had to go to some briefings about this event and so on, and it was called the Draw the Prophet Art Contest. Well, in my little world I was wrapped up in, I wasn't paying any attention to what that was. Didn't have any idea even what it was until I went to my first briefing, and I realized this was an event put on by a promoter out of New York named Pamela Geller in response to another event that had happened at our Curtis Colwell Center involving an organization called Sound Vision, and then also in response to some things that have been happening worldwide where the Charlie Hebdo attack occurred and the cartoonist was killed and everybody watched it on TV, saw these terrorists in black going around just executing people. In the Netherlands, just after that, they thwarted another attack on some cartoonists. And it was all about these guys drawing satirical cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad in the Muslim faith.
Yeah.
So obviously that's a huge no-no within the Muslim faith. It's just anywhere from just a horrible idea to forbidden, mm-hmm. and somewhere in between there. So this event that had happened in February of 2015 by this organization called Sound Vision, which is a Muslim-based organization, it involved a couple of guest speakers, one the founder of the organization and the other an imam from New York, that had some rather radical rhetoric on the internet about democracy. The imam from New York was actually an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing.
Oh, wow.
And I mentioned earlier, Garland's a great place. It's a bunch of blue-collar, hard-working, great Americans. And when they kind of got wind of what this thing was all about, it sparked a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
And it ended up, there were about 1,000 protesters who showed up at this thing. They had the event at the Colwell Center. Now, the Colwell Center was built on public funds. I think it was a bond thing. So there are limitations on who they can yes and no to as far as using a facility.
Yeah.
It's mostly yes. I mean, if they have trouble not allowing things because it is open to the public. So anyway, the event went on. There was some protesters on both sides of the issue there. Luckily, there was a lot of tension, but luckily nothing of much consequence happened there. But that was the predecessor. That's what between that and the Charlie Hebdo attack and the thing in the Netherlands and that event, Pamela Geller decides in New York that, you know, we need to have an art contest depicting the Prophet Muhammad, because she felt like the world and our right to free speech here in the United States is being attacked by these terrorists, and we needed to show them, hey, we're not disavow that right that we have because we're scared of your intimidation. That was her thinking. And now Pamela Geller is a whole nother, that's another podcast or another radio show.
Okay.
So that's how it ended up where it was. So needless to say, there was quite a lot of preparation went into this thing, because there was an awful lot of preparation for something bad to happen. With all that background, move forward now to May 3rd, 2015. The Draw the Prophet art contest was, went on, and I was assigned to an entrance on the west side of the complex, and I had a real simple job. There was going to be Pamela Geller and her security team come through my entrance and go around to the back of the building where they would be brought into the building. There was a guest speaker for the event, a politician from the Netherlands named Geert Wilders, and Mr. Wilders is a politician over there. He's a like a senator or something. He's a proponent of banning Islam from the Netherlands. So needless to say, mm-hmm. he's not one of the favorite sons of people of the Muslim faith either. And he was going to arrive, and he had a security team with him as well. And then there was a caterer that was supposed to come in, and that was all that was going to come through my entrance, and all it was go. Everybody else was to be directed elsewhere. There was nobody allowed to park or anything over where I was. So I was kind of over there by myself. And interestingly enough, I was the only part of the venue that only had one officer assigned.
Oh,
and I had a security guard from the school district that was there with me. And but he wasn't armed. He was wearing a uniform, looked kind of like a police uniform, but mm-hmm. He wasn't armed. But he was assigned there to help me with whatever I might need as far as keeping the entrance closed and so on. So, I arrived about 1:30 in the afternoon to take up my post. And now this event didn't start till like 5, but we swept the building. We had our bomb tech guys make sure there wasn't anything in there. We secured everything to make sure that when people started coming and going, that we knew that everything was at status quo. And so I was there about 1:30 and stood on my post, kept my area blocked, and invited the dignitaries in, and Mr. Wilders came and went, and as did the caterer. Pamela Geller was still there. But anyway, about 10 minutes until 7, a black car pulls up in my driveway, and he pulls up past me. Now, the driveway is about 40 feet wide. He pulls up past me, parallel to the road and partially into the driveway, if you can kind of picture that. And I can see the back of the car. I can see the passenger side and the back of the car quite clearly. They pulled up kind of abruptly, and it seemed kind of odd to me. And it was one of those things where, you know, those little spidey senses that you got? Those when the hair on the back of your neck kind of stands up, and you're looking at that and you're going, something isn't right here.
Yep.
You don't know what it is necessarily, but you know something isn't right. And that's what happened to me. And I'm looking at that. Now, here's an interesting contrast. The security guard, he told me later, he actually testified to this, but he told me later that when he saw the car drive up there, he started to walk toward the car because he assumed that was somebody going to ask about parking or directions or any of those kind of things. He wasn't on alert. It didn't
right.
seem to strike him that he needed to be on alert. And he was behind me and to my left, and I never saw him come into my field of view. So he said he's approaching the car. I'm watching the car, and very shortly after it stops, I see both doors. It was a two-door car, both the driver and passenger door open, and they did that simultaneously. And because I can see the passenger side, I'm watching that more closely, and I see a male subject stepping out of the vehicle, his foot come out, and the next thing I see is the barrel of a rifle
Whoa.
Coming up in my direction. Now, let's go back to the security guard. Now, obviously, that's a threat. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that should be kind of 101, you know, threat 101. You need to, you know, that would be a threat, right? Security guard told me later, he said that when he saw that guy getting out of that car with that rifle, or what looked like rifle, he thought to himself, that's the dumbest prank ever. Because that guard on policeman's going to kill that guy, which is absolutely correct. He and I were finally on the same page.
Yeah.
But his perception still, I think he, you know, and I can't speak for him, but I think sometimes we don't want it to be what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's the reason he had that perception. But, interestingly enough, that was his perception. I guess he assumed it was an airsoft gun or something like that. Well, me, now at this time, I've been a policeman for just short of 38 years. So, I'd been in some difficult situations and so on. But I knew that as soon as I saw the barrel of that rifle, start up, I knew that it was on.
Yeah.
And, I was asked one time, in a court proceeding at this point, and I described the rifle coming up. The attorney asked me, said, well, Officer Stevens, what happened next? And this is probably the most important thing that I tell people, especially in our seminars and so on. They said, well, so Officer Stevens, what happened next? And I said, well, my training kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't about me formulating a plan. It wasn't about me deciding, what do I need to do now? I just did what I was trained to do and had been training to do for those 38 years or near 38 years. The next thing I did, I know I drew my weapon and engaged. I was carrying a Glock 21 45 caliber,
mm-hmm.
Which Glock doesn't pay me a dime to say that. It's a great gun. And I, you know, I'm a pretty proficient shooter. I'm not some kind of super showman marksman or something, but you know, I practice and I'm a diligent about training at the range and so I'm a decent shooter. Anyway, I immediately engaged the passenger with my Glock and the only real conscious thought that I had about that at that moment was that I needed to become the aggressor in this battle. I had nowhere to go. I had no cover. I had nowhere to retreat. I'm standing in the middle of a driveway and there's just not much anything around me. And so my conscious thought was, if I don't become the aggressor in this battle, I don't really have any chance to survive it. If I become the aggressor, I don't have a very good chance, but that's better than no chance, right?
Yeah, right.
So, I engaged him, fired several rounds on him, and he went down and, kind of dropped his rifle within proximity, but he went down. And as soon as he did, and I felt like I had a second, but I could, then I looked to my left to acquire the driver who was coming around the back of the car, had his rifle up, and I believe he was shooting at the security guard, who has now decided there is a problem, and he's headed south as fast as he can go, because he has nothing. He's in the same, there is really no cover in the area or anything so he's just, hoping to get as far away as he can. So I engaged the driver, fired several rounds on him, and he goes down. I was kind of similarly. He went down, dropped his rifle. It's within proximity. But I then redirected my attention to the passenger. Now, the passenger's laying on the ground, and he's got his hands up near his upper chest, just below his throat, and he's moving his hands around. And I'm getting concerned because we've talked about in briefings, you know, the possibility of IEDs, whether it be body-borne or vehicle-borne. He was still a threat as far as I was concerned because I didn't know whether he was trying to pull a pin or push a button or what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I re-engaged him, fired several more rounds on him. He wasn't moving around near as much, which was a good thing. And then I redirected my attention back to the driver. Hadn't really done much, pushed himself up and slumped down, fired a couple more rounds on him just in the, I guess, due to thoroughness, I don't know what you would call it, but fired a couple more rounds at him. My slide locked back. I immediately reloaded and turned back. The driver seemed to be out of the fight for sure. Turned back to the passenger who was still moving around and was starting to approach him, closer, and help had arrived, and they're hollering at me, trying to get my attention. Well, I was kind of in a whole nother zone at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talk about this at the seminar. It's kind of like when I'm watching a Cowboy game on Sunday, and my wife's talking to me from the kitchen. I know something's going on back
right.
there, but I'm really not paying much attention, right?
Yep.
So, but anyway, they got my attention, brought me to a point of cover, and that was that. And that was a pretty interesting, probably 10 seconds of my life.
Wow, 10 you know? Seconds. So
probably,
You got 12-round magazine, is that what you had?
13. I had 14 rounds.
Okay, 14 yep. rounds, and so you fired the slide lock. You hit mm-hmm. both of them, put them both down. What happened then, Greg?
Well, they brought me to a point of cover, and we kind of reassessed. We made sure that the threats were completely eliminated, and then there was kind of an arduous process of clearing the bodies and the vehicle, make sure there weren't explosive devices in either. But shortly thereafter, once they got me to point of cover and the scene settled down to some degree, we had concerns about a secondary attack.
Mm-hmm.
This went from a police security operation to a very military operation in a hurry. And because of the time of day and because of what had happened and because of the type of location we were in, we had concerns that there may be a secondary attack coming. So I was not really assigned, but I took up a perimeter position along with many of our other officers. And then, of course, we were calling people in to come and help. But we set up a secondary perimeter, and I probably sat on that perimeter position for nearly 2 hours before somebody realized that I hadn't been relieved of duty or, mm-hmm. you know, which is typical, you know, anytime you get involved in some kind of a critical incident in police work, you know, you're usually taken out of the theater immediately. And,
yeah.
And, but that wasn't to be, it wasn't a problem. I was okay. And luckily I wasn't hurt. Although those two guys got between them, got off more than 30 rounds, somewhere between 30 and 35 rounds. The security guard took one in the calf, but it may have even been a ricochet, but luckily it was a very non-lethal wound, and he was quickly treated and released from the hospital. But, you know, by the grace of God, none of them found me.
Yeah. Greg, what were you thinking, and what were you feeling in the aftermath?
Well, first of all, it was an interesting experience. I had read Dave Grossman's book on combat years ago, quite a few years ago. And to be honest with you, some of that just really hadn't stayed with me. I experienced auditory exclusion, which was kind of an interesting phenomenon in of itself, and some other things. It's kind of funny. When I started working with sheepdogs and I started spending some time with Colonel Grossman, I decided to reread that book. And it was kind of an astonishing thing to me because I told him this. I said, you know, the guy had never met me or didn't know me from Adam, and he wrote this book a long time ago. How in the world did that guy write a book about me before even knowing me? Because it was that on point.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, for anybody, and you guys out there in law enforcement, especially, and military as well, on combat, on killing, if you haven't read those, you should really, you know, find your copy, get your copy, email Colonel Grossman, he'll probably send you one if you ask him.
Yeah.
So it's great reading and informative, and it answers a lot of questions for you. I can tell you that.
Well, Greg, you know, when it comes to combat, you know, you told me, you know, you've never been in the military before. You know, I was in the Marines, but, you know, quite frankly, combat is combat. You know, whether it's somebody mugging you or whether it's some guy shooting at you from across a rice paddy, you know,
right.
you could die at any moment. So the feelings, I think, are the same or very similar. And I think that's why, you had that connection with Colonel Grossman, because you'd both been in combat, just a little different kind of combat, but combat is combat.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, too, we've got these brave young men and women overseas in the Middle East, other places in the world that are protecting us as a nation here in the United States, protecting our families, protecting us as individuals. And the world, like you said earlier, is changing. You know, years ago, that never came to the United States. It never came to our soil.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, it is here. And technology has made it available to be here and so on. And interestingly enough, those two guys that got out of that car to mount the attack on this Draw the Prophet art contest were ISIS sympathizers and had contact with guys in Syria. And, I mean, these were honest-to-goodness ISIS folks.
Yeah.
Although they were from Phoenix, they were affiliated with ISIS, and that was the first known ISIS attack on U.S. soil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's here. It had arrived. I mean, we'd had other terror attacks, but ISIS had never been here, and ISIS has probably been one of the most brutal terrorist groups worldwide known to man. And so now it was our job in law enforcement, it is our job in law enforcement, to be the first line of defense here at home. We're like another, and Colonel Grossman will tell you this too, we're kind of like another branch of the military at this point.
Yeah.
But we're defending our homeland. You know, it's an opportunity to do for those young, brave young men and women that are overseas. It's our opportunity and our obligation, in my opinion, to be the protectors of their loved ones, their families. While they're over there protecting us, we need to be here protecting their families as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a new role for law enforcement that we never had before.
Yeah. Yeah, Greg. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's like a wake up call for all Americans everywhere, because it's just so much different than it used to be. So, you know, after that, I mean, you went on, you still did your cop work for a couple more years, and now you're retired and you're gardening every single day, right?
No, I'll be honest with you. I'm a retiree in training.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I'm not sure that I'm that good at it, to be honest with you. There's definitely some pluses, and I certainly don't regret retiring. I think the time was right. I think God laid at my feet an opportunity to do something that I think is so very important and still be in service to my fellow man, because apparently that's what makes me tick. And that, you know, I enjoy that. That makes me feel like I'm a productive member of our society. When Jimmy Meeks, I'm telling you, Jimmy Meeks was sent to me, God sent Jimmy to me to give me this opportunity.
Yeah.
And luckily I was smart enough to recognize that and take advantage of it. And I have absolutely no regret on retiring, and I am very excited about the prospects of not only working with Sheepdogs, but I do some other things. I get invited to do some presentations at conferences and those kind of things on occasion. And I love going and doing, I love being around military people and law enforcement people. They're kind of my favorite kinds.
Yeah.
And what a great opportunity in retirement to still feel like you're fulfilled and you're doing something that's important.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I probably will never retire, and maybe for you, if you look at it from the perspective, I'm not retired. I've switched careers. I've taken another career path, and you know, because people who retire, I don't know, what's the last stop after retirement? It's death, right?
Yeah.
So,
and unfortunately, sometimes that road isn't that long.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You
people who become inactive, they just tend to you know, fade away. And so I'm glad you're not fading away. Greg, I'm real happy that you're with Jimmy Meeks and Sheepdog Seminars. And boy, this is a brand new ministry and just a new phase for your life. And I'm certainly very happy that you survived that gunfight, and that boy, what would have happened if you hadn't? If you had not been successful, if they'd gotten a lucky shot off, things could have been a lot of different.
Sure.
A lot of innocent people could have died.
Absolutely. We can ponder all those things all we want. Obviously, nobody would ever really know. But there was some divine intervention. I can tell you this for me. Skippy was like, well, I'm standing there in this driveway with nothing around me. You know, I'm obviously exposed. It's like God reached down and he touched me on my shoulder and he said, I'm going to take care of you, but you got to do something with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take care of these guys. And to God's glory and by his grace is why you and I are getting to have this conversation now.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. I'm a man of faith. I don't think things happen just because they happen. There's a reason behind all those things. And God had a hand in what happened on May 3rd, 2015 at the Kurt Scowell Center. I can guarantee you that.
You know, he always does. I tell you, God gets around, doesn't he?
I'm telling you.
He works in people's lives. It reminds me of King David. I mean, King David, sure. He was such a warrior. And, you know, it's like you can retire. You can, you know, retire from the police force. But inside, you're still a warrior. You know, you still feel young. You still feel strong. You still want to protect and defend and do all the things that you've been doing your whole life. And I understand that. So, yeah, thank God that you were there. And now, thank God he's using that event in your life to help other people to wake up and to get prepared and to study and practice. And, you know, it's awesome. Well, you know, Greg, we're out of time. But I just want to remind people to go to sheepdogseminars.com. And, Greg, I want to thank you very, very much for being on the Home Defense Show today. It's been great.
Well, I tell you, Skip, it was, like I said, it was certainly an honor to be asked, and it's been a pleasure to be on. And hopefully, maybe in the future, we can have another visit.
Hey, I think it will happen because, you know what, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. Well, hey, you're
That's
stuck
right.
with me. We're both brothers in Christ, so we're family. Okay.
That's a good family, though.
Yeah,
that's
it sure is. It sure is.
It's a good family.
All right, folks. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. We got a 2-minute break coming up. Go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and then elitefirearms.us, and also go to sheepdogseminars.com. Coming up in segment 4, we'll have the wrap up and I'll tell you what I really think. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Front Lines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Well, Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do we have this week?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Smith & Wesson spoken here. That's what a sign posted on a Utah home says, but that didn't serve enough warning to stop a bad guy from kicking in the door and trying to take advantage of the elderly residents. The disadvantage attributed to their age was offset by the fact that they had a firearm and knew how to use it. One of the residents shot the suspect a couple of times, but even that wasn't enough to make him cooperate with the police, who arrived after the entry. The perpetrators stripped and confronted the law officers, only to be shocked with a taser, wrestled to the ground, and handcuffed.
I hate when that happens, Colonel. I just hate it.
Thanks, Colonel. There are so many things we could talk about with this scenario, but for today, I'd like to focus in on the sign that said, Smith & Wesson spoken here. And why is that? Because for many jurisdictions, a provocative sign can mean the difference between being charged with a crime or being passed over. Let me explain. The United States is one nation, but we are a divided nation, especially when it comes to guns and gun laws. The rural part of our country tends to be very pro-gun because we view guns as tools. We are introduced to them by our parents or another relative at a fairly young age, and we use them for hunting, personal defense, competition, and recreation. But city life isn't like that. Urbanites are also introduced to guns at an early age, but they are more often associated with crime and illegal drugs. Some urban people think like this: guns equal crime, therefore gun owners equal criminals. That's very black and white thinking, but it makes sense based on their limited experience. That is, they've witnessed muggings, drive-by shootings, and gang wars. So, in this Utah home invasion, the county prosecutor will view this as a largely legal shooting. However, if this scenario were to occur in a place like Los Angeles or New York City, then the presence of a hostile, provocative sign might be misconstrued by the county prosecutor. They might determine that you wanted to shoot the home invader, and that casts you in a bad light. Now, don't get me wrong, I love those signs. They're very clever, and they make me smile. Signs like, if you can read this, you're in range, or this house protected by Smith & Wesson 3 days a week. You guess which days. Those signs send a message of don't mess with my family, and they are a deterrent to crime. However, if you live in an anti-gun jurisdiction, those same signs could hurt you should you ever end up in a courtroom. If you live in an anti-gun jurisdiction, go with a less hostile sign like NRA Life Member or United States Concealed Carry Association Member. These signs convey the same message that you are armed and will defend yourself, but minus the hostile threats and stigma. That said, these armed and elderly residents did what they needed to do to survive and prevail. Now they can hang up a new sign that says, Old Folks, Fight Back.
I love it, particularly as an old folk.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. How about that Greg Stevens? Man, these Texans are tough. No two ways about it. You know, we've had a lot of Texans on lately, haven't we? We had Doug Giles last week, and this week we got Greg Stevens. Man, apparently God did bless Texas. Now, you know, I was talking to Greg off air, and I talked to him for about 45 minutes off air. I don't think I've ever done that. You know, normally I'll go ahead and I'll do the interview and then, you know, talk for a minute, say thanks, and then we hang up. But I couldn't stop talking with Greg. Very interesting guy, you know, and some of the things that didn't come out in the interview, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, you're using open sights. And he says, yeah, just plain old iron sights. And he estimated the distance right around 35 feet is when this gunfight started. After shooting the first terrorist, he closed to within about 20, 21 feet. And the rest of the gunfight was, you know, up close. But quite frankly, most of us, we don't get beyond 20 feet in our practice simply because we don't want to miss. And I think we're kind of doing ourselves a disservice there. That's why when I train church safety teams, we run that target all the way down to 75 feet. And we practice at long distance because parking lot shootouts, they're going to be longer. And he shot 14 rounds in 10 seconds. And, you know, he was telling me, he said he had a rhythm going. And he says he remembers seeing the sight picture for every shot. And, boy, you can't argue with success. I mean, the results was, man, he did some really good shooting there.
And it was a result of a lot of years of practice, long, hard practice, and his training kicked in, and he just did what he had to do without really thinking about it a whole lot. Isn't it odd how you can train for 38 years for a 10-second gunfight? And isn't that's the way it happens. I mean, you'll spend your whole life training, and it's like the moment of truth. The event in your life that defines you might be 5 seconds or 10 seconds long or 3 seconds long. And it's not just with gunfighting or personal defense or being a cop. It could be a spiritual battle. You know, you're at work late and the young intern says, "Hey, you want to go on out and get something to eat?" And you're married. That is the 3 seconds of your life that define you, that tell you and the world exactly who you are and what you stand for. So it's not just in personal defense, it's in all aspects of your life. Who are you? What do you stand for? What are you gonna do when the crap hits the fan? And hey, Greg Stevens, he knows because it happened to him. So remember that when you're going through your day-to-day life. Folks, you've got to practice. You've got to train, and train again. You know, because if you don't, that moment of truth comes and you got nothing. You got nothing but bile in your throat and queasiness in your stomach and adrenaline in your bloodstream and nothing up into your head. So train. Keep training, always. All right, check out sheepdogseminars.com. You've got to go to one of these. They are absolutely fantastic. sheepdogseminars.com. Hey, and as long as you're on the internet, check out Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by Skip Coriel. That's me. Next week on the show, I've got like 3 prospects lined up. I'm not sure which one we're going to have, so I'm going to keep mum about this, but it's going to be good, and you're going to like it. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!